We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, final hour of the week. We go back to the guest line. It's our buddy Eric Boynton of the Spartanburg Herald Journal, their sports writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric J. Boynton. And Diesel, this is why you follow Eric Boynton. 9 hours ago, or he retweeted earlier, the faux John Gruden. Wow. The Browns finally winning a football game is like the ice cream machine at McDonald's actually working. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's a special treat. And I'm right there with you, man, because, you know, a McFlurry can be really good that one time you want it, and then that ice cream machine's broken.
There's another fast food, I won't give a name, but another fast food joint that started, I hadn't been there in forever, and they started advertising frozen Cokes, and I love that. So I've now gone through the drive-thru three times, mainly with the idea of getting a frozen Coke. The machine's been defrosting all three times, so, well, go figure.
Sturge and Eric, you know, we all messed up. None of us became ice cream machine repairmen, because if you learned that, you'd make $1 million because they're all always broken.
Exactly.
All right. Well, first of all, Diesel and I hope you're feeling better. You've been down just like my wife and a lot of people. Is it the crud, more or less, at this point, Eric?
Yeah, just kind of like a little kind of cold thing. Not sure what it is. And usually I get my annual cold, as most people do, when the weather starts changing a little bit and kind of going, you keep the windows open that one night and wake up to 43 degrees. But, yeah, not sure what it is. I hadn't really heard your wife's, you know, the only other one I've heard that's kind of running into some issues.
Yeah, she can't get rid of it. She had to get on like a Z-Pack trying to kick it out of her system. But, Eric, first of all, it's a big day for the Palmetto State in football. Clemson just got to continue handling their business. Now, it was announced earlier today, fifth-year senior linebacker Kendall Joseph is out of the game. And, of course, you don't like losing a linebacker playing a Paul Johnson coach team. But if you did not know, we had Andy Demetra, the voice of the Yellow Jackets, on yesterday. Georgia Tech heads into this game now down two offensive linemen. I say advantage Clemson in that exchange.
Oh, I would say so, guys, and especially during the late in the season last year, J.D. Davis, who's listed as Kendall's main backup, you know, he came in, and both Davis twins played well. Of course, the sons of legendary Clemson player Jeff Davis, but J.D. Davis in particular had a couple of really nice games coming down the stretch when Trey Lamar was hurt. So, you know, Joseph's a big loss. He's a grad student and, you know, one of their most cerebral players. I would venture to say, I don't think he's an official captain, but as far as that back seven goes, he would be one of the more, you know, most experienced, if not the most experienced guy back there. So, so it is a loss, but yeah, J.D. Davis, as I mentioned, you know, I would assume they've got Shaq Smith's a guy who's been in the program now for a while. Mm-hmm. He's listed third. He's made great strides this year. So I think they'll be okay. And like you said, Sturge, Georgia Tech, if they're going to have chemistry issues or a dip of talent on that offensive line, it's could make a long day. Well, could be a long day even longer.
You know, this Georgia Tech team, listen, they need to get off the ropes with a win, whether they can. I think that's extremely difficult because, number one, they lost Kervante Benson after the first game of the year, their best running back. But number two, this is literally a team in which the quarterback stirs the drink in Taquan Marshall. And I'm sorry, a one-man offense, more or less, is not going to be able to beat Clemson.
No, and when you've got Benson, as you mentioned, Benson went for 100-plus against Clemson last year, was an all-ACC performer, 1,000-yard back, and their best tailback. So that was just a huge blow to lose him in week two. But, no, you're right. It's not a lot of experience. It's kind of a running back by committee, and usually Georgia Tech's got, you know, usually they've got that stable of four backs, and when you have a Benson and another player, you know, you usually have a couple of guys back there that are upperclassmen that have been through the wars a few times, but you know, now you're kind of having to go deeper in your depth chart. I'm not sure how good their running back recruiting has been the last few years and such too. So yeah, you're looking at some guys like Quas Cerce. He's been around a long time. He's a redshirt senior, but you know, he's a guy that's just kind of a good solid player. He's not a flashy star back there. So yeah, and this is not the defensive front. I mean, we already know last 3 years Clemson's held a huge upper hand in this ball game, mainly thanks to their defense. Mm-hmm. And then when you're looking at that defensive front, how smart and experienced those guys all are now, and even down Kendall Joseph, it's still that's going to be a tall order for Georgia Tech going against that line tomorrow.
As we continue with the Spartanburg Herald Journal sports writer, Eric Boynton, follow him on Twitter at Eric J. Boynton. So, listen, I mean, we get it from Dabo every week. You know, some of my friends that don't cover Clemson go, how can you deal with that? Well, talking about him pumping up the next opponent like they're number one in the country, I said, I think that's the mentality that he wants his team to go into film work and preparation work with. This is the most important game. Well, this is the most important game on South Carolina's schedule, because if you don't get by Vanderbilt on the road after not getting that ugly taste out of your mouth against Georgia, that makes that game against Kentucky and Lexington next week even that much bigger. So South Carolina, the narrative's changed here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and imagine, Sturge, we talked about this before, you know, about this two-game, you know, swing in Tennessee and Kentucky. It could be, I know it's early and probably, you know, a little bit overstated, but, you know, it could be a season decider. I mean, because they easily could go on the road and drop these two games, you know. And you don't want to go into the Kentucky game with two straight losses needing a win when Kentucky's kind of not only had the upper hand, but there's got to be a little bit of a mental thing going on, you would think, there. I know you can maybe overstate that, but you've got to be thinking there might be a little extra pressure on their shoulders since they haven't gotten it done against Kentucky in so long. But, yeah, I mean, they had to wait a week. I didn't think that was great after an underwhelming performance against Georgia. I'm sure they would have loved to have gotten back on the field last Saturday. I know that's not a situation anybody could control. But to not even get a game in between them, I mean, there might be a little rust. And, guys, I mean, you know, Vanderbilt you know, played very, very well last week at Notre Dame. Barely lost the ball game. Kyle Shurmur went for over 330 yards. I mean, they played the Irish tough on the road. So they're certainly going to see a Vandy team that's brimming with confidence, I would imagine, at home, you know, late afternoon ball game.
All right, you are an unapologetic New England Patriots, Boston Red Sox fan. Congratulations. Your Sox finally clinched the AL East here. What, yesterday, I believe, they clinched the division. But what did you make of the story this week that Tom Brady almost requested a divorce from Bill Belichick earlier this year and blah, blah, blah this and blah, blah that? Because I find their relationship to not be that much more different than a wife, you know, a husband and a wife, if you will. And if you can have that much kind of success with not getting along with your partner the way they have, sign me up for it as a franchise every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Exactly. And my guess is, and obviously I listen and read a lot of this stuff pertaining to this particular team, and obviously the two guys that are been responsible for all the success. But I mean, I just kind of buy into some of the theories that are out there, is that, you know, Brady's been a good soldier for his entire time under Belichick, who's a stern taskmaster type, and always kind of demanded that expected Tom Brady to be the first guy in the mornings, be the guy that doesn't miss any off-season workouts, all the voluntary stuff. He's the first guy in, last to leave, and his film study is legendary. But I'm just kind of maybe thinking that after X amount of years together, I think it's been 18 now, if I'm not mistaken, but it's you know, that maybe Brady finally expected at this end, going, listen, I'm 40 now, and he skipped the off-season voluntary workouts for the first time ever. I was thinking that maybe he wanted Belichick to lighten up on him a little bit, and that hasn't been the case. Maybe that's caused a little bit of the friction, but I don't know, man. They don't, you know, you don't have to be best friends with your coach. Sometimes it's good if you're not. And, you know, just two big personalities, and I'm sure now that they're kind of coming to the end, the egos start cropping up a little bit more than before. And each of them wants their, you know, chunk of responsibility for this, you know, pretty much unparalleled success. So
yeah.
I would assume that that's kind of, like you mentioned, a wedding where at 35 or 40, you know, maybe stuff doesn't bother you when you're 60s. You could be just kind of grumbly and terse with each other.
Yeah, kind of like the way I'm getting at 50 right now. All right, as we begin closing up with our good friend Eric Boynton from the Spartanburg Herald Journal, you cover a lot of golf. It is the final tournament of the year, the championship down at East Lake Country Club in Atlanta. You've got to be excited about the weekend if you're not feeling that great, because the top three on the leaderboard right now are a guy by the name of Justin Rose, some dude by the name of Tiger Woods, and some guy I've never heard of, and Roy McIlroy. Oh, yeah, also in there is a Justin Thomas, a local former Clemson golfer, Kyle Stanley, Ricky Fowler. So this is exactly what the PGA Tour was hoping for in concluding the year ahead of going to Paris for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, you're right. I'm actually, it's funny as you mentioned it, because I'm glad you didn't mention the scores, because I don't know the scores yet, but I'm on about hole number 12 right now with Tiger. I finally kind of woke up, got moving, and started watching the golf that I DVR'd earlier just because I knew how good the leaderboard was. But no, you know, the only problem is, and I was saying this to somebody else the other day, and I know next year they've changed the, you know, moved the schedule around greatly with some of the majors, the Players Championship. I think the playoffs, I believe, were moved up. The problem being is this is awesome for golf. We got the Ryder Cup coming up, you know, but Saturday's college football, Sturge, even across the country now, even in, you know, Northern Territory where I'm from, where they probably watch Tiger Woods over, you know, Auburn versus Stanford or something. But, you know, but most other places it's college football, and then Sunday's dominated by the NFL. So they could wind up having a seven-hole playoff on Sunday with the five guys you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be back pages, you know, the NFL, whatever storyline is up there, unless Tiger wins, that's the only thing that would overtake the NFL. So it's just a shame that they have this, you know, I mean, you're only talking a couple of weeks. They should, you know, change the season around, which they have starting next year, but it's just awful to have this great leaderboard, the final event of the year. And it's just going to be a non-story. And like I said, unless Tiger wins, golf is going to be third, fourth, or fifth on the weekend.
Yeah, and you mentioned the NFL. It is a big game for the Carolina Panthers. They're 1-1 coming home to take on Cincinnati, who's 2-0, one of seven teams in the NFL, off to a 2-0 start, Eric. But, again, you don't want to get any further behind, because now it looks like you may be keeping pace with at least for the time being, a white-hot Ryan Fitzpatrick in a very wide-open offense down there in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Carolina Panthers and you know the Falcons are going to be good and back, you figure the Saints are going to rebound with Breeze, and the defense actually played way above its heads from what anybody expected. I mean, the Saints last year, you figure the one team, I know that's the NFL, but the one team you're probably least concerned about is the Bucs, not because they're talented, but without Jameis Winston for the first three games, and it's the Steelers, it's the Saints, and it's the Eagles. I mean, I was thinking that was an automatic offer right there. Jameis comes back in, and if you lose, you know, two of your next three, you're 1-5, and you're pretty much done. But so it's shocking to kind of have that as the lead horse right now. But I know Ron Rivera was extremely upset at his defense last week. He just thought there was a little lack of intensity, lack of spirit out there. That's not how his teams or the well-known defense of this franchise has played in forever. So for them to get gouged in the run game like that, especially with Devontae Freeman out for the Falcons, I think you'll see a fired-up team. I think they'll be back to basics. And I like how the offense has looked so far under Norv Turner.
All right, tell our listeners, of course, you're watching golf right now. I'm not going to be that guy and tell you what the scores are, but what you're working on. Because before, first of all, get that out, because you're going to lead off with our question we're going to close off the end of the week with. So what you got coming up at the Spartanburg Herald Journal that you will link up all your work at Eric J. Boynton on Twitter?
Well, we had a story a little earlier in the week. I'll just throw that out there about the tremendous success I mentioned earlier that Clemson's had against the Yellow Jackets. They actually handed Dabo Swinney three of his first 20 losses, mm-hmm. including year two in his first full season in the second full season, sorry, in the ACC championship game. So, but since Brent Venables has arrived, they've gone 5-1, and he's really had just tremendous success. So, a little story about that there, and you know that. Georgia Tech was the first team Dabo faced 5 days after being named the interim head coach for Tommy Bowden. So it's kind of – he kind of has a history, and that was Paul Johnson's first year, so he kind of has a history against his program. Tomorrow morning, actually probably up on our website right now, a little story on Isaiah Simmons. Dorian O'Daniel, the departed linebacker for Clemson, had just unbelievable success all four games. Even as a reserve, they just kept him out there, and he registered close to 40 tackles and under 200 snaps played in his career against the Yellow Jackets. So Isaiah Simmons is the next man up, switched over from safety to that kind of hybrid safety linebacker spot that O'Daniel played so well in. So Isaiah, we talk a little about and kind of profile Isaiah Simmons in tomorrow morning's paper or on the website now. So thanks.
All right, Derek, stop and think about this. This is a conversation Diesel had. I saw it, and I don't know exactly where, so I don't know who to give credit for it. But if you were being paid $100,000 to watch one movie on a continuous loop over a course of a week, what movie would you choose?
Oh, any movie and get the cash?
Yep. Now, you get to sleep, but outside of sleeping, this movie's on loop in your life for 1 week continuously. To make it through a week, you get paid $100,000. What's the movie you try to do it with?
This is actually just a very, very easy one for me. Pulp Fiction by a mile and then some.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, we'll get into our answers as well. Eric, listen, get some orange juice, get some rest, take some medicine, and we hope you feel better.
Guys, I really appreciate it. Always have a lot of fun with you. Thanks
so much.
All right,
thank you very much. And, yeah, you can tell it. You can hear it in his nose. You can hear it in his voice and everything. What did he sound like when he answered?
The question is, have you ever watched, and I never have either, and I would be curious to know if Eric has. So, Eric, jump back on and tweet us if you're listening. Have you ever watched Pulp Fiction in Gonzo order? It's
no.
Where you actually watch it in correct chronological order.
Mm-mm.
Somebody has gone through and chopped up all the scenes and put it in chronological order. I never have.
Does it? I wonder if it'd make any more sense, because that's one movie that
that's the whole point.
Not,
it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's one movie that would not be on my list to watch continuously for 1 week. Maybe I'd figure it out by the end of it, but no.
I've got it figured out. It's all just all out of order.
Okay.
And maybe that's what we need to do, man. We need to have a movie night.
All right.
And watch it in Gonzo order. I'm guaranteeing you, it's out there on. On Facebook, YouTube somewhere.
That sounds like a weekend. We may have to pawn my wife and child off to Charleston. You know what I mean? So we can have the house to ourselves. All right, so here's the deal. I want Diesel's answer. I want your answer as well. They'll be all over the board. Plus, we'll take a look at some NFL games, including the aforementioned Carolina Panthers facing the Cincinnati Bengals off to their best start since 2015. So Pulp Fiction, Diesel, was the answer for what movie Eric Boynton would watch on a continuous loop for a week for a $100,000 grand prize. Now, I ask you the same thing. You can tweet us at me at Sturgis Sports or at ESPN Upstate. Annette McClellan tweets me, and this would be on my list, Diesel. Blazing Salads. Blazing Saddles. Not Blazing Saddle.
Salads?
Yeah, exactly. Blazing Saddles. I can tell you where I got screwed up there. Back in the day when I was cool and I booked bands, there was a group that would come down from the north by the name of Angry Salad. Hey. And they had a T-shirt. And a couple of times I wore it out, people would ask me where the restaurant the Angry Salad was. I'm like, nah, it's a band. So Blazing Saddles, that would be a good choice. What would you do? Would you go comedy? Would you go drama? Would you go something that...
Oh, I'd have to go comedy. Love... one of my favorite all-time movies is Airheads.
That's fantastic.
Brandon Fraser, Steve Buscemi, Adam Sandler, three idiot rock stars break into a rock radio station with water pistols filled with hot sauce so that they can get their song played on the air.
Yep. Which, by brilliant. The way, the one copy of The Master was what, on cassette tape in the girlfriend's car, which you knew from having worked in the music or radio business, you knew that was kind of hard to stomach right there.
I know for a fact if that ever happens here, I know that the reel-to-reel machine is located in the B93.7 production studio.
There you go. All right. So I like Airheads. Now, me, I'm with you. I'd have to go comedy. This might be off the little beaten path, but this is one that made me laugh growing up over and over to the point that I went and bought it on an old VHS tape back in the day. Speaking of Diesel, we just threw our final VCR out here in the last couple of weeks. Yep.
Can you even still get VCR, like, Blu-ray combos?
I have no idea, but we found one that, you know, in this renovation that we're doing, we found an old VCR. You know, we even our wedding video is on a VHS tape, but we're like, yeah. You know, we can go take that and get it converted to a CDR, you know, or whatever. And but yeah, we now have no way to play an old VHS tape, and some of my best Bama football memories are on VHS tape right now.
Oh, my dad would sit and watch races from 10 years before on VHS. He'd find it and be like the 1994 Daytona 500. He'd watch it.
All right, do you remember a kind of an obscure comedy movie that came off a skit on the Canadian equivalent of Saturday Night Live?
Strange Brew.
Yep. The McKenzie Brothers.
Yep.
I that would be on my list. Now, if I had to go action, you know what I mean?
And you don't get to choose like five different movies, Sturge. You get to pick one.
My other would probably be.
You don't get another one.
Shut
you gotta
up.
Pick
I
one.
Do too. It's my show and I get to make the rules.
I can cut your mic off.
Yeah, that is true. And I can kick you and run. No, but.
No, you can't.
I know. Indiana Jones might be up there at the top, the original Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. So, but again, you think about that. Do you realize
if you want to torture somebody, make them watch Kingdom of the Crystal Skull over and over again?
No kidding. No, is that the one where they're mining down there with the Colombian kids or whatever? The one that just made no sense whatsoever?
Yeah, that was the new one that came out about 8 years ago.
That's the one that has a spaceship fly out of the mountain.
Yeah, they essentially link it with the movie Aliens.
Yeah, that was just a little too strange for me, speaking of Strange Brew. So you can tweet it because. Do you realize that sounds like that would be an easy $100,000 to win?
Totally.
But it wouldn't be. About the third day into it, you'd be wanting to beat your head against the wall. Please, I'll take a rerun of the Lawrence Welk show on PBS right now.
My movie has a cameo from White Zombie in it. I'm down.
Okay.
I'm down to watch it over and over and over again.
My buddy hits me up and says Animal House.
It's been a while since I've seen Animal House.
Here's the thing. There's one scene in Animal House. Now, here's the deal. You can't forward through. You cannot fast forward through the one scene in every movie that you don't like. There is a scene or a scene and a half in Animal House that I now flip the station if I'm ever watching it. And it's when they're talking about Donald Sutherland, who is the professor, and they're talking about, oh, God, what's that book that 2,000 pages, nobody anyway, talking about, you know, it's about Satan and all. I could skip through that one, but I'd have to if I watched Animal House. But that's kind of fascinating. I mean, some people would look at it from a movie that you can continue to learn things from. I mean, it's Super Troopers. That's one that if I ever see Diesel, I catch a little something different in it every single time. So that might be a way to scratch that itch as well. The Panthers need to scratch the itch against the 2-0 Cincinnati Bengals again off to their best start since 2015. Yeah, here's the deal. Cam Newton, he's going to have another performance. Andy Dalton's playing very well. Now, the question is right now, Diesel, is this a mirage? This is something that we've seen out of the Cincinnati Bengals before. But the one thing that plays in advantage for the Panthers there at home at Bank of America Stadium, the Bengals have lost 11 of their last 17 games on the road. So that doesn't speak very well for the Bengals' chances. But here is what to expect on Sunday. You wait for 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 31 minutes. It's going to be a close game because this much I realize about the Panthers this year. If they're going to be successful, they're going to have to win close games. I'm talking like they did against Dallas, 16-8, 20-13, 20-17. I don't think I see a Panthers team this year that has the capability to go out there and beat anybody 38-17. Why? Your two run components for this Panthers offense aren't running backs. By that, I mean Cam Newton is a running quarterback, and he has the opportunity to set an NFL record for most rushing yards by a quarterback with a single franchise with 63 yards on Saturday. But again, he's your quarterback. Christian McCaffrey is kind of your other weapon at running back. But guess what? He's not a running back. He's a slot back. He is a multi-purpose player. You can put him at running back. You can put him out at wide receiver. That's my issue. I don't see where the Panthers, where they get the 3 yards when they need to get it. Maybe they can be creative enough with Norv Turner's offense in which to make something happen with a mismatch. But the two best aspects of the game, if you, in my opinion, if you're a Panthers fan and you need a yard or two, you're going to have to do it with Cam Newton, or you're going to have to do it with Christian McCaffrey, and you're going to have to be creative. I don't see the ability on third and three just to power it through for a three-yard gain and grab the first down and keep the drive moving. That's why I say I see a year in which the Carolina Panthers to be successful in what I think is the toughest division in the NFL, the NFC South. And again, Tampa Bay 2-0, Atlanta 1-1, New Orleans 1-1, and the Carolina Panthers 1-1. You're going to have to win close games, and you're going to have to be creative with Christian McCaffrey. Now, again, they may be able to change it. Who knows? But when we come back, the Carolina Panthers aren't the only game in the NFL this season, this weekend. It is an old-school NFC South rivalry down in Atlanta. Also, Monday Night Football affects the NFC South as well. Two more segments, 844-GSP-ESPN. Our fun question to end out our final hour on Friday: if you had to watch one movie on continuous loop for a week to win $100,000, what would that movie be? All right, welcome back in. The tweet of the night last night, Diesel, came from the Cleveland Police Department, and it read this: "We won, we won. Wait, oh God, the free beer thing. Okay, Cleveland, stay calm. Go Browns."
That's, you got to give it up to whoever wrote that tweet. That is brilliant. That's, that's on par with like the spring break police departments, these local police departments around the Gulf Coast of Florida saying, hey, come to this house because we got free weed, and just arresting whoever shows up.
Now, you would have to have either weed or a pipe in which you've smoked. You couldn't be just arrested for showing up.
That's right. But it gives you, it gives them probable cause,
right,
to search you.
To search you. So now, first of all, I'm saying I'm 50 years old. I've never been on spring break in my life. But you know what? You would have to be ranked up there with the dumbest of dumb all time to show up at a place that advertises free weed on spring break and not know that there's not a police department involved in it. Is that fair?
Well, they're not looking for the brightest of the bright.
Yeah. They're looking for Bubba from 11th grade at 27 years old, not somebody that's actually passed a class in college, no doubt about it. But no, that's what was funny is some of the refrigerator jokes last night were next level. All right, coming up in the NFL this weekend, Diesel, it is a busy weekend. Of course, if your head's been in a hole and you don't know it, the Cleveland Browns ended the longest losing streak in the NFL with that win last night over the New York Jets. Also at 1 p.m. on Sunday, you have New Orleans and Atlanta. And listen, the New Orleans Saints are a couple of missed Cleveland field goals the week before from being 0-2. They're very fortunate to be at 0-1-1 after they lost the opener to Tampa Bay. So for people that don't know it, this is a very, very old school rivalry, New Orleans and Atlanta. And again, that's at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Also, for anybody that can stomach it, Buffalo at Minnesota. Minnesota is a 16.5-point favorite in the NFL. Diesel, stop and think about that. The NFL, which gives you same rules, random rules, you know, this, that, and the other. And if you're bad, you're supposed to be get better through high draft picks, you know, better draft picks. How in the hell can one team in the NFL be a 16.5-point favorite to another team in the NFL, in Minnesota not be just an absolute runaway is the best team in the league? Also, Indianapolis is at Philadelphia. That's a 1 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Green Bay's at Washington. Aaron Rodgers is on the maybe list, if you will. He is doubtful, maybe, whatever. We'll see if he can play again on one leg at the Washington Redskins. Green Bay is favored by a field goal. San Francisco's at Kansas City. That's a 1 p.m. kickoff on Fox. The Kansas City Chiefs are a 6.5-point favorite. And maybe the name you need to start paying attention to in the NFL that you don't know is Patrick Mahomes, the former Texas Tech quarterback in year number two in Kansas City. Also, Oakland is at Miami. Miami is a the Dolphins are a 3-point favorite. They may be the most surprising team in the NFL off to a 2-0 start. That is a 1 p.m. kickoff down in South Florida. Tennessee's at Jacksonville, and Diesel, we keep asking, is Jacksonville legit? Yeah, they're 2-0, and they're a 9.5-point favorite at home against the Titans on Sunday. Cincinnati and Carolina, the we mentioned, I'd take, man, that over-under at 43.5 looks awfully inviting, but Carolina is a 3-point favorite at home. You also have Denver at Baltimore. That's 1 p.m. on Sunday. Baltimore, a 5.5-point favorite at home. The New York Giants and the Houston Texans, believe it or not, is rough of a start at 0-2 as the Texans have had. They're still a 6-point favorite on the Giants. I mean, how bad do you suck as an NFL football team with a Manning at quarterback, if you're 0-2 and you're facing another 0-2 team and you're nearly a touchdown underdog?
Well, not to disparage the Giants anymore, but they do claim Zach Brown is a fan.
You know, they should have gotten rid of Eli. They should have gotten
rid of
Eli. I
mean, that photo of him shell-shocked coming up, wow, it generated so many memes.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly, wasn't it? You know, that's the bad part of being the least favorite of the two Mannings, you know what I mean? Nobody will ever knock Peyton Manning because he literally won a Super Bowl title his final year in the NFL with no neck. You know what I mean? Now, we always see are these memes of Eli Manning like he is just getting crushed, no doubt about it. Now, the rivalry game nobody cares about this weekend, Diesel. The Los Angeles Chargers at the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are a 7-point favorite. That is a 4:05 kickoff. Also at 4:25 on Fox, Dallas is at Seattle. The Seahawks are a 1.5-point favorite. Dallas likely to be without one of their wide receivers in Terrence is it Owens. He is facing a suspension over an arrest that he had earlier this year. And, again, that's what's kind of sad right now. You look at the top three stories off to the right on CBSSports.com, and none of them are good. Also at 4:25, Chicago's at Arizona. 8:20 on Sunday night, New England's at Detroit. Of course, New England going against their former defense coordinator, Matt Patricia. And then finally, Monday night at 8:15, Pittsburgh looking to avoid going winless through the first three games. They're at the now white-hot Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are actually an underdog at home. Go figure that one out. So, again, last night, Cleveland gets a 21-17 win over the New York Jets, and only Hugh Jackson can continue to screw things up. He announces that he will make a decision on Monday who will be starting the next football game for the Cleveland Browns. And listen, that is a rough group up there. If it's not Baker Mayfield, I feel sorry for what may happen to Hugh Jackson. All right, when we come back, we'll close up shop. A few notes from the weekend in college football. We can take a quick phone call. And don't forget, one last time, but we've got Gaffney at Burns coming up here at 7 p.m. GMAC, Randy Cable, Matt Hogan. Also, Malden High School, their football club, on Sunday, a hot dog sale and car wash at the school to raise money for their four football teams.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.